الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم. يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاء والأكم. روحي الفدا بقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والفجر وليال عشر. وقال تعالى: لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Before starting our talk proper, as per the command of our honorable illustrious Sheikh Arif Billah, the Rumi of our time, the Mujaddid of this era, the second Tabriz, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Rahimahumullah, I would like to say that before every bayan, make muzakara, discuss one sunnah of Hazrat Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that the sunnah of Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can become alive in the ummah again. The sunnahs are really the life wire of the ummah. And Allah loves that life of sunnah pattern so much that Allah's unseen, unlimited help comes when we adopt that sunnah way of life. Just to give one example of that, it's not a long time ago, and many of us will remember still that time when we used to buy rice. Then there were small pieces of stone in the rice also, some pieces of grass also. But we bought the rice and we knew that there are going to be pieces of stone. And stone is much heavier than the rice grains. There will be twigs of grass, etc. also. We paid for that the price of rice. Why? Because it was together with the rice. After buying it, we looked after that rice. We looked after the stones also. We looked after the twigs also. Somebody mustn't steal it. Rain, weather conditions, animals, some mustn't destroy it. We looked after it. But when the lady sat for a long time cleaning the rice, and they separated the stones, the twigs from the rice, and they threw it outside now. Now the dogs urinate on it, the people trample on it, nobody worries about it now. Because now it's not worth the rice. From this example, let us understand exactly like that. As long as we, this ummah, we were connected with sunnahs, we was like the pieces of stones, we were like the twigs. But Allah looked after us. Allah paid our price, the price of sunnahs. And sunnahs are most beloved to Allah Ta'ala. Allah kept our price, the price of sunnahs, when we were with sunnahs. Allah protected us like the sunnahs He protects. But when nobody separated us, we separated ourselves from sunnahs today. And today sunnahs are not in our lives. We haven't got connection with the masjid, with Quran Sharif, with ulama, etc. And now we have, so to say, thrown ourselves outside. Now we are like the pieces of stones and twigs which are lying outside. The drinkers of wine, and the eaters of swine, they trample us. What are they? What's not happening in Iraq at the moment, in Syria? What's not happening in Afghanistan, in Palestine, in the whole world? How are the Muslims being treated? And now we are being made such big fools that in the name of Islam we are being misled. And in the name of big like buzurgs we are being misled. And this is all the planning of the enemy. And there is no other reason for this than to simple, just bring sunnahs back into our lives. Then Allah will look after us at the price of sunnahs. Allah will pay for us the price of sunnahs. We'll have that value in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. So may Allah give us tawfiq to understand the value of sunnahs. With regard to the present times we are in, one sunnah that I will mention that is for our present times is from next Friday, most probably, depending on the sighting of the moon, will be the first of Zulhijjah. And it is a mustahab to keep the first nine rozas of the first 9 days of Zulhijjah. If we can keep on nine, very good. It's not for us, but it's very good. And at least the ninth, the day before Eid, most probably Eid will be on Sunday, depending on the sighting of the moon. On that Saturday, to keep roza is more virtuous. So we should try and keep those that roza. And the 10 days and 10 nights of Zulhijjah, they are so valuable that we should try and make ibadah during those days, which we will discuss just now. So there is also a great sunnah that we have forgotten. Another great sunnah for this period is that we should not cut our nails, etc., remove hair of the body during this 9 days. It's not haram. If we want to, we can, but preferably not to. And there is also a sunnah that is the knowledge of which also we have lost today. The practice of it is out of the question, but we don't even have that knowledge that from the first of Zulhijjah, that is most probably next week from Maghrib time on Thursday, Yawm al-Jumu'ah, until we have finished our Qurbani, during this period, we should not cut our nails, remove hair from the body, etc. May Allah give us tawfiq to make amal on every sunnah, inshallah. With regard to the first 10 days, today Jummah time, we try to talk a little bit of Hajj, and nobody can ever do justice to that subject. What a great occasion the occasion of Hajj is. And the occasion of Hajj comes in now properly with the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. And that is when many of people war over. Even now, if we are at Haji camp in Jeddah, every minute or so, there is a plane landing. And as the Hajis get off the plane, you hear just labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik ala sharika laka labbaik, inna alhamda wa ni'mata lak wal mulk la sharika lak. Now it's a plane from Malaysia, now it's a plane from Pakistan, now it's a plane from the UK, from around the world, the planes are just landing. What an occasion Allah is making. How vibrant it is. And then when the last 10 days come from the beginning of Zulhijjah, all the Arabs who come by buses, who come by private cars, etc., they are pouring in. And what an occasion. With regard to this, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, when the first of Zulhijjah, which is the day of Eid, our Ramzan Eid, he says the people of the world get happy because it's Eid's day today, we'll have some of our goodies, we'll have all our confectionery and all our delicacies and everything. He says, my joy is that now the season, the mausam of Hajj has started. And Allah has given general permission to all the people, وَأَذْنِن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ, announce and give adhan and make the announcement of Hajj, O Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, to the people of the world. يَأْتُوهُنَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ. They will come to you from all parts, from the hilly, rocky mountain parts, from the roads, from everywhere people will be. And this is, we look at it with our eyes, very limited. But if you just think of a satellite view, that people from all around the world are now flocking to Makkah Sharif. From everywhere, by plane, by bus, by ship, in all forms people are coming
What a beautiful scene, and how happy doesn't Allah Ta'ala become. Hey, just like, for example, a dada, dadi, nana, nani, on a special occasion in the family, invites everyone to come. And all, somebody's coming from German, somebody's coming from Port Elizabeth, phones are coming, we are arriving, we are at this place, 2 hours time, we should be there, inshallah. Somebody's arriving from America, they are phoning, we have landed at the airport. How happy the dada and dadi become. All my children, my grandchildren, all are gathering here. And imagine that the people from the world, every nationality, from every, from across the cross-section of society, people who are kings and rulers, people who are street sweepers, everyone just one thing on the tongue. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Oh Allah, you called us, we are ready here for you. We have come and we have answered, we are answering your call. How happy doesn't Allah Ta'ala become? So this great occasion now is taking place. And the crowds are just swelling all the time. In Makkah Sharif, in Medina Sharif at the moment. And our hearts should be connected there. We should visualize all the time the people are entering, and like this beautiful poem that was rendered now, that about the Hajj, how wonderful the people are there, just entering the Kaaba Sharif, just looking at the Kaaba Sharif, making tawaf. Allahu Akbar. At this time, when the crowds are so swelling so much, if we just sit in the haram and the crowd is moving like the waves of the sea, and it seems that the Kaaba is also moving. And as said in the poem, that when you see this, your ruh, your spirit inside, starts dancing in joy. That Allah, what a scene. And my Allah, your house, what honor has been given to you in these days when there is so much of irreligiousness, so much of unmindfulness of deen, but the splendor and honor of the house of Allah. That no way in the world is there anything like this. And this is not 1 year, how many years? And it is not one day, not only during the period of Hajj, throughout the year. Now everyone says, no more quiet period. We want to go when the crowds are less. No more time when the crowds are less. The crowds are just swelling all the time. No matter how big they're making the haram, it's still too small all the time. No matter what facilities they are making, inadequate all the time. The crowds are just swelling. So this is that occasion. And just to be connected with your heart is a great ibadah also. And though we are here, far away, we are in our business, we are in our homes, we are here in Robertson, we are in South Africa, but our hearts are connected with Makkah Sharif. There's a very great ibadah, and Allah loves that ibadah. Then comes the days of the first of Zulhijjah now. The ayat of the Quran Sharif I recited, in there Allah Ta'ala refers to, just imagine, Allah Rabbul Izzat, the most greatest, the most honorable. There is nobody and nothing like Allah. Laysa kamithlihi shay'un. He is one. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. One Allah only. And so great Allah Ta'ala. And Allah is saying in the Quran Sharif, just that it is the words of Allah in the Quran Sharif is enough to show the superiority and the greatness of the subject matter which we are discussing now. Then not only is it the words of Allah, not only is it in the Quran, but Allah Rabbul Izzat himself is taking qasam, is taking an oath. Okay? Taking an oath that you swear, I swear by Allah, I'll speak nothing but the truth. That a person is taking an oath, Allah is taking an oath. We have to take an oath. Somebody doubts you that you might be lying, you're not speaking the truth, take qasam. We can, but why must Allah take a qasam? Allah, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Who can say a truer word than Allah Ta'ala? When Allah Himself is حَقُّ الْمُبِينَ, He's not only the truth, complete embodiment of truth, but He is that being who is the truth completely and makes manifest and makes public and known the truth. مُبِينَ. And Allah doesn't shy away from the truth. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي أَن يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً. Even the smallest things, Allah will explain it openly. Whether it is the private matters of husband and wife, Allah explains it openly in the Quran. Everything so truthful, the true matters, Allah has made it clear. That being has to take qasam. For what reason? It is for us to understand, like a mother advising her daughter, or a father advising his son, and he's worried, my son is perhaps going to become a drug addict, he's walking around with alcoholics, he's walking, he's keeping company with the Salafis, for example, with the Shias. My son mustn't become a Shia, he mustn't become a Salafi, a Qadiani. Father is worried, he said, my son, I take qasab and I'm telling you. What I'm telling you, please listen to me, I'm giving you the best advice. And he takes qasab, not that he's lying or anything. Why? He wants to convince his son. So in that strain, Allah is making qasab, to convince us that we must just be obedient to Allah. Listen to what Allah is saying. Imagine, Allah doesn't need us at all. Does Allah need our ibadah? Does Allah need rosy from us? Does Allah expect us, we must give him a house to live in? Allah doesn't need our ibadah. Allah doesn't need our hajj. He is as he is on his own. A whole world praising and making Allah's ibadah. And nobody disobeys Allah one bit also. He doesn't increase the grandeur and honor of Allah in the least. And if the whole world disobeys Allah and commits every type of sin, it doesn't lessen the greatness of Allah in any way. And what can we give Allah? What is our ibadah? Where can we fulfill the rights of Allah in any form of ibadah? But yet Allah is shakir. He makes shukr. Why am I saying, who makes shukr? A person you do a favor to. A person who is not in need of you. A fly was sitting on the horn of an ox. Then it realized, oh, I didn't take permission from the ox. So he said, Mr. Ox, please make me mark. I was sitting on your horn and I didn't ask you permission. Ox said, I hardly knew you exist. What is the sitting of the fly? So all of us, our ibadat is not even that much by Allah Ta'ala. Yeah. If we don't make Allah's ibadat, he doesn't need our. But in spite of that, Allah appreciates. And there is nobody who can appreciate that Allah. In this world, how many husbands will say to his wife, I do so much for you, you don't appreciate anything. The wife will say to the husband, I do everything, I go out of my way, but you don't appreciate. Parents will say to that to the children. And today's children say, my parents don't appreciate me. Must the children appreciate the parents, or must parents appreciate the children? But children say, our parents don't appreciate us. So nobody can appreciate like Allah. And Allah doesn't have to appreciate. But from here, learn the khalqahu bi akhlaqihi, creating you the qualities of Allah Ta'ala. Learn to appreciate also. Today we can't say jazakallah. We can't say a thank you. We can't smile to anyone. We don't appreciate anything. One great alim, a great buzurg, he was a doctor, very great doctor he was. But see, in the company of the pious, what a great buzurg, he was like a big maulana. He wasn't a maulana, he wasn't like a buzurg, but he was really more than a maulana and more than a buzurg. On one occasion he was invited for meals by one of his murids, his followers. After the meals, from parda, from a screen, he thanked the housewife. Jazakallah, you cooked very nice, I appreciate, the food was tasty, etc. Thanked her, praised her, and he went away. But she started crying, very, very profusely. So her husband asked her, why are you crying? Maulana didn't swear you, he didn't insult you, he praised you, he thanked you, he gave you duas, why are you crying? He said, I'm crying because 40 years I'm cooking for you. Not one day you told me jazakallah. Yes, you found a lot of fault in my food. Salt is too much, it's too less, it's burnt, it's cold, it's too hot, etc. And those of us who are smiling, we are guilty. That is why we are smiling. Because we never also told the wife jazakallah. One day he learned his lesson. The next day they were sitting and eating. So he said, jazakallah, very nice, I appreciate it very much. She started crying again. And with the woman is a no-win situation. And no problem, that's the same thing we say about us. That with this man, you just can't satisfy them. They got a problem with everything you do. So anyway, he asked, now why are you crying? I'm praising you, I'm thanking you. She said, 40 years I'm cooking for you. Not one day you praise me, you thank me. But today, when the neighbor's wife sent the food, you just can't stop. You're just going on and on praising the poor, praising all the time. So this need to appreciate is a very great quality. And just simply to say Jazakallah, just to pull one little smile, what a great thing. But unfortunately, we don't want to tell the wife Jazakallah. We don't want to just smile with her also. And how much don't they do? And the wives must appreciate the men. They are making sure the telephone bill is paid. They are making sure the electricity, water bill is being paid. You open the tap, water flows. You put the switch on, lights. Just not happening. Somebody is behind it, doing it. But no appreciation from anyone. So this is a great quality to appreciate. So Allah Ta'ala appreciates. We can't imagine how much Allah appreciates. And Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala, we all know how disobedient we are. Our eyes, how wrongly we use them. Our tongue, our vocabulary, our language, with dear and close people. And when we hear of our certain friends, like that outwardly big Sufi subs, everything. But with the wife, the language they use, the swear words, if there was a dictionary of swear words, I hope there isn't one. And unfortunately, I think there isn't. But if there was one, that dictionary also haven't got the swear words that some of our friends use. And who? On the wife, on the children. A complete different picture in the house. Outside, we're like big Sufis. But in the house, we are like big oppressors. We torment and oppress the family. This is not the way that we should live. So we have to learn character, akhlaq also. Learn to forgive. Learn to forbear. Have tolerance within us, and especially for our dear and close ones, our wife, our children. That doesn't also mean we give them license to do what they want to. Correct things, and there is a correct way to correct things. Don't correct things in the wrong way. And don't let wrong things carry on and say, I got good akhlaq. I don't tell them anything whatsoever. No, you must maintain it and learn how to do it, and there is a right way. And the right way is the most practical, the most easiest way. But stay with who we call Ahlullah, Buzurgan-e-Deen, and we will learn that ways. And wallah, I say, you will see your life at home with your family will be a life of Jannat in this dunya only. And wallah, I promise you, if we learn to control our eyes and not look at other women, you will realize your wife is a poor of Jannat, which Allah sent from Jannat for you in this dunya. And you live your life like the life of Jannat. But it is on condition, that is on one main condition, we control our eyes. When we look at filth and dirt, how will Allah show you the beauty of Jannat? If this glass here is dirty outside, not even dirty, we were eating food, curry marks are outside. That curry is not dirt. We weren't eating dirt, we are eating clean, pure food, good food. And it's on the outside, but we hesitate to give even a family member that glass to drink it. They also feel offended. So the heart which is dirty inside, how will Allah come in? The eyes which are dirty, how will you see the hur of Jannah? Clean your eyes, purify your eyes, purify your heart. And this is what we call islah and tazkiyah. And that is why we have to go to the khanqah. And we go to, we have a sheikh, a spiritual doctor. As we have a physical doctor one time in Bombay, one of Maulana Abrar al-Haq sahab, rahmatullah alayhi's khalifa, great alim Maulana Abrar al-Haq, his khalifa was in hospital for some treatment. So the doctor wanted him to sign, they wanted to operate on him. So he said, I will first take advice, make mashura with my spiritual doctor. So that doctor said, who is your spiritual? We never heard of a spiritual doctor. And by spiritual doctor, I'm not speaking of the mamas and the doctors which are all our temples. So funny things are now out of the world things. I'm not speaking of these spiritual doctors. Those spiritual doctors who treat your spiritual illnesses. So he said, I never heard of them. So he said, he got a good opportunity, gather all the doctors of the hospital, and I'll explain to you who is a spiritual doctor. So when all the doctors got together, he said, see, regularly you people are taking our blood, testing for sugar, testing for cholesterol, the functioning of the thyroid, the functioning of the kidney, all different things you test with the blood and you give us the results. Tell me in this blood test of yours, can you check for me how much of pride I have got? How much of jealousy I have got? How much of anger I have got? All these things. They said, no, that we can't check. Say, that's the work of a spiritual doctor, who will check you and see how much pride, and then a suitable treatment you will give you. Because today, if you give a person a dose of antibiotics, he's allergic to you. You tell a person properly, you got pride in you, he's allergic, he'll never come back to you again. That's a very bad doctor. He took out my faults like this. So today you have to do it in such a way that he doesn't even get the idea that he's got pride, and you remove the pride. That his eyes are out of control. He's not looking. Allah. But imagine, if you are driving your car and you got an auto-electric fault. When you put your indicator on for the right side, the left side indicator goes on. Very dangerous. You wanted to turn to the right, you put your right side indicator. But it's showing at the back, for the back driver, the left side indicator. So he will want to pass you on your right. And as you are turning, there is a terrible accident who is going to kill you first. Because why? You've got the auto-electric fault. In the same way, if we got a spiritual fault in our eyes, you want to look at your wife, but you are looking at your sister-in-law all the time. You've got a fault with your eyes. And your eyes are not falling on your wife, they're falling on your sister-in-law. What a big accident going to happen in the house. Or your eyes are falling on your neighbor's wife all the time. Instead of your eyes falling on your wife, falling on your neighbor's wife. Yet in that accident on the road, 5-10 people might die. This accident, your dunya will be destroyed, your akhirat will be destroyed. How terrible is not that? So this is that treatment that is necessary for everyone. So anyway, coming back to where we were, that Allah has taken Hasan of this first 10 nights. Allah is so great in the Quran Sharif, and Allah is taking Qasam. And what Qasam? Well, Fajri, the time of Fajr. This is a great time which we do, we're living like zombies. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the changing from day into night is a huge phenomenon. We pass it, but we don't take notice. Those people of intelligence will understand what a great thing that Allah has done. Just like if we study little bit electricity, we just press a button, lights are on, air con is gone on. You turn a knob, your stove is working. What a great thing is happening. Where is the electricity? We don't see in that wiring, etc. Now, one button you press with this of the same source electricity, your light goes on. Another button, same, it's electricity, and your vacuum cleaner starts working. This is all the qudrat of Allah. What man has made, we are just puppets on the stage. Behind all of this is the work of Allah. And more clearly and directly, without the intervention of electricity or anything, when the morning, when the sun is going to rise, Fajr time comes in. It's a great phenomenon. The whole world was quiet. It was dead silence everywhere. When you came for Fajr, you had your headlights on. After Fajr, when you go, no lights are put on. And before Fajr, when you came, the phone wasn't ringing. It was quiet. It was silent. After Fajr, now the phone is ringing. Now the doorbell is ringing. Now the cars, the hooting of the cars. Now the moving of traffic and buses and everything. What a change, but we don't notice it. And who has made this change? It is the infrastructure of Allah. Whether it is what we using, what man has made, behind it is the hand of Allah. Or whether it is directly Allah's work, but we don't see this. Allah Ta'ala complains about mankind in the Quran. وَكَأَيْهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. How many of my clear signs I've put in the heavens and the earth? يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا. Man passes by them all the time. وَهُمْ أَنْهَا مُقْرِدُونَ. He doesn't notice at all. The wife, especially when we're having a dawah, we're inviting people, she puts the plates down, and they take so much precaution. The glasses for drinking water, juice, with every plate, it looks like they use a mathematical protector. And they measure it exactly at 45 degrees or 30 degrees. And every plate is put just like that. And then when they put the serviettes again, whether it's in the classes, and it must all match everything. And when they put the knives and the fork and all that, when the salads come, vegetable salads, they will arrange it so properly. Sometimes all the carrots one side, the tomatoes one side, nothing overlapping. In the top, a mint leaf. And then the little salad dressing, and then she will come and see, she wants it perfect. But when man sits, they don't notice. Like nothing happened, like it's nothing whatsoever. Not even we tell her one, Jazakallah, you took so much. My visitors came, I told you I'm inviting 5-10 people. You went out of it. And when she did, when we have an occasion, a jalsa, ijtima, anything, when we dish out from the day the man, we use that squatter, the dish. When we just dish out and put. When they dish out, you see how they particular. Put it this way, put. And they say, announce, don't rush me. I want to do it my way. They take their time. And then just the pieces of meat, for man it means nothing. But then this piece of meat must be like this, this must be like that. On top of that, to put the mint leaves and that, like that, Allah has done the work, and man is not good. How unappreciated are we? And this is what is called the tasawwuf. And getting connected with the shirk, that we start learn to appreciate. Learn what your wife does for you. Learn, today if there are potholes, the whole world is complaining. And we say they are day roads, not potholes. But we get in good roads, not one alhamdulillah comes from a person. Nobody makes shukr. We come to the masjid, we have clean masjid. The carpet, the musallas are vacuumed, everything. Imam is on the time. Towels are clean, dry towels. Toilets are clean. Huzur khana is, nobody will go to the mutawalli and say jazakallah. Nobody will think of giving him a 20 rand. Put it in, I use the facilities of the masjid. There are people who donate, alhamdulillah. But even so, there are many of us who don't donate. And who can afford, put 5 rand in the box. 10 rand in the box. But one day, let the wuzukhana be dirty. Let one toilet be dirty. Oh, these mutawallis are useless. They're doing nothing. Complain, we complain too much. But unfortunately, appreciation is not it. We have to learn this. So Allah Ta'ala takes qasam of these 10 nights of the time of Fajr, and imagine what a phenomenon. Then of the 10 nights, which means the 10 days, the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, it's so valuable, so great, that Allah who is so great, Allah takes qasam of these 10 nights. That is enough to tell us how great these days are. But many of us, the 10 days, Ramzan doesn't mean anything to us. The most is we just keep our rosas. Somehow by some hook or crook we make somehow our tarawih. And Ramzan is a time when Allah wants to make more love to us. And the greatest love with Allah is in tarawih, is in sajda. And in Ramzan Allah loved this occasion, this is the season of honeymooning with Allah. The season of love with Allah Ta'ala. So Allah said love making in Ramzan every night, 20 rakats, 40 times I'm going to hug you. 40 times I'm going to embrace you. We want to force it down to 16. Only 8 rakats tarawih, so we don't want to make love with you, Allah. Because we don't know what is the love of Allah. We know what is the love of sand and stone, of our houses, our motor cars, our food. Allah is the creator of love. Allah, and the place of love is the heart. Allah is the creator of the heart also. And in that heart, when Allah wants to, and we see it happening, may Allah save us. A person is married, Allahu Akbar, he just gets off the stage. In the UK one time they had a nikah. The bride, the bridegroom, the parents of both sides, and the qazi, the one who was going to make the nikah, went up in a helicopter to make the nikah. And before the helicopter came down, talaq took place on her. So in that heart, and today our nature is, before marriage, we make all our love. As soon as we are married, we start fighting. And a person fights so much that he gives talaq, divorce. When he finished giving divorce, now he's forcing to get together. How topsy-turvy, because we have chosen the wrong way of life. The right way of life is not the Western way of life. Today we all want to educate our girls also. And we want to educate our boys, we don't want to get them married young. So they fall into how much of guna? High schools, colleges, universities, are they all Sufis and Buzurgs there? Who doesn't know what's happening there? That girl that has gone through with so many men, what is she going to enjoy with her husband? And how will she appreciate the husband? That man that has gone through with so many women in his life, now he wants to get married. Right? In our system, when a boy and girl have become mature and mentally matured and responsible, get them married. And that is at the height of their desires. And they are both halal for one another. Let them enjoy. Their honeymoon is not 1 week. Whole life is their honeymoon. But the Western system, today especially, degree after degree. This degree, that degree, the girls also with this studies, that study. They just don't finish with their studies. Now the man turned 50, he's a doctor. Now he decides to get married. And the woman is 40, she's a lawyer. Now they decide to get married. What do they know what is nikah? Eh? So anyway, I'll open a bedroom scene, but which is censored. It's above board. Don't worry, nothing wrong. We are sitting in a masjid. It's a fear. It's censored. This. So the husband, 50-year-old doctor, he tells the wife in the bedroom when they're going now to bed, excuse me, but my hand is a plastic hand. I lost it in rugby, playing rugby. So he took out his hand and put it to one side. And he took out his leg, wooden leg. And he said, my leg is a wooden leg. I lost it in motor racing. So he put his leg one side. So she also said, please excuse me. And she took out her wig. Just now she was a blonde, she was a brunette. Now she's a blessed. Nothing on her head. And then she took out her false teeth. Now she's a bokeh. All her inside, 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 everything. Then she took out her eyelashes. Just now she had green eyes. Now she had blue eyes. Now she see just ordinary eyes there. Now two scraps lying in a scrapyard, and they want to open Kitabun Nikah. When do they know what is the enjoyment of Nikah and enjoyment of life? They have to open Kitabul Janaz. It says go make Janaza Namaz and go to the Qabristan. That is their way of life, but they don't understand. We today are empowering our woman to fight against the husband. We have given her so much of Western education. I don't need a husband in my life. The minute he says something, hey, bugger him, man. Dump him, I go my way. Go to court, get my divorce. I go and open my office, I do my work. This is the way. We have empowered our woman with what? To fight against the husband. And now the 2-3 children in the house, they got no father. We're having mother, father, they got no father, they got no mother. That is not Islamic way, is a solid way. And we know, many of us who are here, our old people, our mothers didn't see the door of a school. But she brought up 10 children. And successful marriage she had. And all her children are successful. Our fathers were also such, not any much education. But they are what men were. Today we, on their laurels, we are living. What and what haven't they given us? So today we have to get an Islamic way of life. Anyway, so Allah Ta'ala took the qasam of this greatest day of the time of Fajr. And the stand nights. In the hadith it has come that you understand days ibadat, Allah loves it the most in the whole world, in the whole year. The ibadat of Ramadan has got the most value. And the ibadat of this first 10 days is the most beloved to Allah Ta'ala. And what is the ibadat? So simple. That read the third kalima, the fourth kalima. That is the ibadat. But we don't, how many of us will read? Try and read minimum 100 times third kalima, 100 times fourth kalima. Why driving? What is it? You don't need wuzu also. You don't have to be facing qibla. If you do that, mashallah, the value is going to increase. But on our tongue, have third kalima, have fourth kalima. The ibadat of each night of this first 10 days is the ibadat equal to the ibadat of Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr in Ramadan, we better to know which is that night. We want to find out. Yeah, every night, 100% guaranteed, the sawab is of the sawab of Laylatul Qadr. What great occasion is coming. But how many of us are still involved in gunas during these 10 days? That is the worst thing we can do. And the ibadat of the night is also no big deal. Just make your Isha with Jamaat, your Fajr with Jamaat, you got the sawab of the whole night's ibadat. More than that, spend 15 minutes, half an hour, get up earlier, try and keep the rosas, you are getting up for sehri.
Get up 10 minutes earlier. Make tahajjud. Read little Quran. Make dua also. So easy. It's not difficult at all. And what great earnings. Eternal. The earnings of this dunya are so hard to make money for dunya. We have to slog 7:24. All the time we are working. And then how much and what? Finally, if you do make money, how much you make? Paper money. And today our paper money hasn't even got that written on it. I promise to pay the bearer on demand so much. Previously that was at least written on it. But that also is not written. And just let the government nationalize things. What happened in Mozambique? What happened in Burma? All the currency they hit overnight. In a split second, the safes were full with money. Actually stacked with money. It was now you could just light it and make a bonfire. It wasn't even worth the fuel to make a bribe. A person, this is not a, just imagine, an actual fact. Zimbabwe, a person who worked his whole life. And then, what policy? For old pension policy he had. And when Zimbabwe went through the financial crisis, the bank wrote to him, you must come in, we have to sort out your account. When they finally sat and they sorted out everything, he thought, now I'm retired, my life now, I'll be getting my returns every month, I'll live a very comfortable life. When they sorted out all their accounts with him, he had only so much the money left that he could buy one banana. Nothing else. Forget you all the things. This is this dunya. And your earning of akhirat is solid. 100% solid. And you don't have to go and bank it. Today the bank also goes bank. The bank goes bankrupt also. Allah's bank, you bank it in the bank of akhirat, there you are 100% secure. And it will be with you wherever you go in this world. We think that sawab is something for akhirah. What good deeds we do. All of us must have heard of those three people in the Bani Israel who got caught in a cave and the rock fell and they couldn't come out. What saved them? Some emergency servants? They dialed some emergency numbers? Or who came to them? Paramedics came to them? Or who came to them? Ambulance? Nobody. Who? Their amal saved them. So like that, today we don't realize it. But the good that we do, we just got saved, a narrow escape in an accident. We think, well, it just happened. Your some good deed you do, got you saved. Yeah. Eh? Sometimes you were getting into a terrible argument. It was near that guns come out. And murder should have taken place. Court cases, sentences and jail sentences, all that. But your good deed came and Allah just... Once we were in the Haram of Medina, the old Haram, we were Fajr time, the masjid was full, we were outside making namaz. And an argument broke out between two Arabs. Daggers came out of it before Fajr while we were waiting. One person just said so much, Salli ala Nabi, that one good deed, daggers got put away. They embraced one another. Good deeds, we don't know what miracles they were. In this dunya, how it said, and our bad deeds when we get caught up with something wrong, something goes wrong in our life, it was some bad deed that we had committed. So these things help us. They supersede and override the system of this world. In this world, when we came for namaz, we are going home fine, everything. That is, we got our cars, we've got enough fuel, the car is in good condition, roads are well, everything. But some guna comes in between, you get a puncture. You get some people coming, hold you off now, hijack you, whatever, your guna has come in between. So we have to understand this, that our good deeds help us in this world, and the most at the time of mourn. To go safely through this, like when we go at immigration, when we're traveling, especially people with beards, topi, kurtas, then the eyes are on you. Before you come in the queue, the cameras have already picked you up. And they've already informed you this person is coming. You have an eye on this person. But your good deeds take you through safety. Your gunas block you. You can even camouflage yourself and wear jeans and t-shirt and go. But if your gunas are there, they're going to block you. And your good deeds will get you through where you can't. So at the time of immigration, at the time of mort, and customs in the cover, your good deeds, in akhirat, your good deeds. So anyway, these are the days to accumulate this great wealth so easily. Then comes the time of qurbani.
Now that the Eid Qurbani also, we should try and get our animals before time. Just a little bit, before that. Let us understand that keeping roza is a separate thing and staying hungry is a separate thing. For many of us in Ramzan, it's just a matter of staying hungry. We never kept one roza. For example, it comes in the hadith clearly that if a person in his mind he kept roza, but he lies in his roza, bad bites, looking at other women, flirting around with other women in the office, etc., making joking with them, it doesn't mean anything serious, but it is haram to joke around with them, to talk with them, etc. And he's got roza. It comes in the hadith, Allah is not in need of his staying hungry. In other words, he kept no roza, he just stayed hungry. So many of us, 30 Ramzans, 40 Ramzans, we just stayed hungry. So we don't see the benefit of Ramzan if we stayed hungry. A person goes on a hunger strike, Allah wants a roza. And roza means that you keep roza of the eyes also, control your eyes. Roza of the tongue also. You don't speak bad, you don't backbite, you don't, no rumor mongering, no swearing, etc. How many of us feel we did a great favor to Allah and we take it out on the wife? And the way we swear her for this and that, we take it out on the workers. The hunger has hit us, we take it out on the workers. That's not roza. That is, we are just showing our hunger and we're showing our low character. That is all. So like that, one is qurbani and one is slaughtering an animal. There is a great difference. The whole year we need animals. If you go and slaughter yourself, you just slaughter. That's not qurbani. Many of us for Ramzan, for Eid also, we are just slaughtering, we are not making qurbani. Qurbani is an ibadat. Okay? How many of us? We are told we must buy sheep for qurbani. But many of us, we have to buy cheap. Okay? Don't buy cheap, buy sheep. Okay? But we are looking for cheap, and we have to buy cheap. Qurbani means, فَطِيبُ بِهَا نَفْسًا. Open your heart and spend. But this doesn't give license to the other people who are selling animals, that the people, oh, they're just going to spend, so let us put our prices up high. No, they must render a service. Their profits is in its place. But they must render a service. But you open your heart. And how many of us, as soon as we slaughtered, weigh the animal and divide it now into the lands. And how much per kilo? That is not qurbani. Qurbani is you open your heart and you make the qurbani. For how many of us? The qurbani, there are three shares we must make. One first share, deep freeze. So put a, and before, now already, the women are emptying the deep freezes. Because now qurbani is going to make place for the animals, deep freeze. The second is the bride. We're going to have a bride. And the third we're going to give to our friends and family, those friends and family who we know are going to give us. So it's just an exchange system. So today is cell phone zamana. So just phone them that you're going to bring the front leg of your goat or your sheep. You keep it from our side and we will keep yours from our side. Why even take the trouble of going and exchanging it? And those who didn't give us last year, we got it noted. This year we not give it again. So this is not qurbani. One is that one third is for the family and for the house. One third for the family and the friends. One third for the poor. Today what is for the poor? The stomach. Hey, which we don't want to eat today, we don't want to clean it. The poor people, they also must get something. Give them the stomach. Give them the trotters, the head and the legs. Give them all the terms. Hey, all that, give it to the poor. The good meat, that is for us. That must go in the deep freeze, etc. So that is not qurbani, the spirit of qurbani. Allah Ta'ala says clearly, لَيْنَا اللَّهُ لِحُومِهَا. The meat doesn't reach Allah Ta'ala. وَلَا دِمَاءُهَا. Neither does the blood reach Allah. What Allah wants, walakin jamal taqwa, your piety, your sincerity of your heart. Today, be at least honest and sincere with yourself. You don't want to be honest with your wife also. You don't want to be honest with your boss. You don't want to be honest with your workers. You don't want to be honest with Allah. Be at least honest with yourself. Don't bluff yourself. What the hype? يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The Quran Sharif says, the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they try and deceive Allah and the believers. وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنْفُسَهُمْ. They're just deceiving themselves. Come out of this that we're deceiving, I'm very pious. Today another great sickness is, alhamdulillah, there is a good thing. We got beards, sunnah beards, Allah accept.
topi, amama also, turban also, kurta. We look at ourselves every time in the mirror, we get convinced and pious. And we know inside how rotten I am. And just because, and because we come masjid, into a topi, turban, and kurta, and everyone, oh, buzur, what a buzur can that? Everyone making salam, and we get convinced I am a buzur. But we don't know what our comes. One person went to the auctioneer, wanted to sell his horse in those days, was very disobedient, dropping him off. Today our car, troubling a lot, we have to sell it. A good auctioneer, who is he? Who will advertise it? That this horse is such a horse, when it gallops, it's like a ship on the sea. You just see it like sailing in there, and it gives you such a smooth ride, etc. And this horse was troubling this man for 10 years, throwing him off the back, and he'd been disobedient and not obeying his commands. So when the auctioneer advertised it, he said, give my horse back. He says, what? Just now you came, you said the horse troubling you for 10 years. He said, when you say it's so good, then how can I sell my horse? He said, stupid, don't you have 10 years experience what you got, and you forgot. Today we know how terrible we are. Somebody must just say, Hazrat, Maulana, oh, such a big buzur, and we forget how terrible we are. We just left home and how we were swearing at home, and how terrible what our habits were, how dirty, filthy habits we have got. Our bathroom habits, toilet habits are so dirty. We change our clothes, till today we don't know there is a washing basket in the room, in the house. We just take it and throw it down. The wife is a maid, she must pick up. Eh? We are big lords, we can do what we want to. We mess the basin, we did the toilet in a dirty way. No, she's a maid, she must clean it. That's not the way of a Muslim. A Muslim must clean for himself. And he considers other people, everything. Eh? We still have to do a PhD as far as knowing how to throw, where to put our clothes. That also we still don't know. Take out your clothes, don't just throw it. And also let us learn. Yeah, by the when we go out of the masjid, Ustad Maulana Ahmad Mera Sahib, Allah reward him, give him high stages. He taught us that when you take your shoes, don't throw it down. Make a noise in disrespect of the shoe. Then one day, if somebody hides one of your shoes, or somebody steals your shoes, that's the day you know the value of that shoe. And shoes are also expensive, not cheap today. And people wear expensive shoes. If your shoes, so don't just take them and throw them down. And like with great disrespect, appreciate every na'mat of Allah. In the house, appreciate every shoe. Come to the masjid, the towels, don't clean your nose with the towels. How many of us washing and wiping our face and cleaning the nose also? Next person is going to use it. Eh? Well, how many of us notices have to be put in our masjid boards? Don't wipe your feet with the towels. So these are simple things that we should understand. So this is, this deen has to come in us. The proper deen which Allah Ta'ala has blessed us, we should understand this deen. So this Qurbani also is a great ibadah which Allah loves. So try and get your animals before time. We're just returning from Kenya, and we were in Mombasa staying at one brother's place. He lives on the second floor, ground floor, first floor, second floor. And on top of that is a terrace. So I usually ask wherever I go, Qurbani, what's your first procedure? What do you do? So he said, we make Qurbani here and we do it on the terrace. All the animals going up 50 steps I have to climb every day. So I counted them. And so with the animals, 50, flight of 50 stairs going up and plus some more to go to the terrace. And they make the Qurbani at home on the terrace. There is no other place on the ground. They make it there. One place we went to in Namibia, Francistown. There also, beautiful flat. I asked, where you can make the Qurbani? He said, yeah, in the kitchen. The whole Qurbani comes through all the residents. Through everything the Qurbani comes and they go and make the Qurbani in the small yard at the back. So Qurbani, we must get involved personally. Today, what many of us write out a check, send it away. We say, Malawi, poor people, they don't get food, meat to eat. Zimbabwe, they don't get food. Mozambique, India, or many, any other country. So they only need meat once a year. Rest of the year, they don't need meat. If you are really so less philanthropic and you want to help the poor people, send every month for them. That they can eat. And remember, Qurbani is not a charity. Charity is another ibadat on its own. Do your charity, but don't mix charity with Qurbani. Qurbani is a sacrifice.
That is what is qurbani, and feel that sacrifice. Money wise also feel. Let your whole family get involved with qurbani. Make that our malamine kitchens. Malamine is the old word now. Now what kind of kitchens?
Granite
and all the view. So we don't want no stain of blood there. We don't want the smell of the animal also. And we say the goat, the smell of the goat, etc., the milk. If we don't, if we all, when other side, aroma therapy, we all go for. Right? That the aroma smells also is therapy, is treatment. The smell of the goat and the goat milk is the best treatment for TB and cancer. And get if you can, and the goat is still, it's very possible. If they haven't interfered with the goat industry, it's a very small industry. Sheep, cattle, chicken, wholesale they've interfered with the feed, with the method of slaughter, with everything. But the goat industry, generally, they haven't interfered. And goats, and even free-range fowls. Free-range, not what you keep in your fowl pen, the hawk. And then you give them food, but those that eat on their own, Allah has put them by instinct. They eat those things which are the best for health and remedy. So the goat, what it eats, which is free range, which eats on its own, it eats those things which is the cure for cancer and for TB. So those are the things we should try and eat. So if we should make the qurbani to slaughter yourself. Everything, there is a hikmat and great wisdom behind it. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam slaughtered with his own hand, on the occasion of Hajjatul Wada, 100 camels qurbani Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. 63 he slaughtered with his own hands. And then 37 he left for Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to slaughter. Today we just send it away, right out in the comfort of your office, and you got air con and everything, right out one check. And deposit in one account and your qurbani. Ask any mufti sahib, your qurbani is made. This is just like you send somebody else for hajj, hajj-e-badr. Your hajj will be made, you ask mufti sahib. I couldn't go, I'm excused, I've got to, I can't manage it. I send some, yes, your hajj is made. But you, what will you know what is the night of Muzdalifah? What will you know what is Arafat and the du'as of Arafat?
Yeah.
One alim came to our sheikh in Makkah Sharif, and he said, Hazrat, I really want to cry in my du'as, but I just can't bring myself to cry. Many of us desire, but we can't. Hazrat told him, no problem, this is an easy solution. Just go there to Multazam, the place between Hajar-e-Aswad and the door of the Kaaba. Just go, he said, what will happen there? He said, you just go there. When he went there, everyone is crying. When everyone was crying, he started crying. The next day he came to Hazrat smiling. Hazrat asked, what happened? You so happy today. Yesterday you were so despondent and sad. He said, Hazrat, the way I cry, I never imagined I could cry like that. So when we get involved, then you get it. So what will you know what is Arafat if you send somebody else? And what is Muzdalifah? If you got a timeshare and you couldn't manage to go and use it for whatever reason, you send your brother, you send your family, you send anyone else. It's used. It's got used. But how, what that cool breeze, that morning rising of the sun over the mountains or over the sea, and that wonderful fresh air, where you are sitting in the all the polluted Johannesburg, polluted, you sit here, what will you know what is all that enjoyment? So the same way, qurbani, we send it away, what will we know what it? Slaughter, Sharia, our Quran, Hadith, command is to this extent, that a woman should even slaughter herself. And if she cannot manage, then with due parda facilities, she should be present when the seeing of blood flowing is a great ibadah. And during the days of qurbani, Allah loves nothing more than ihraat-e-dam. The 3 days of qurbani, the 10th we start, 11, 12, till maghrib time. Those times are the greatest thing Allah loves, that blood must flow. The blood of the animals. Allah doesn't want the meat or anything. We want to calculate wastage of meat, etc. So can he give it to the poor? Allah doesn't need all that. Allah is the feeder for everyone. Doing nothing wrong with that. Give the poor their share. But qurbani is an ibadat of its own right. And understand that ibadat. And how much we get involved in that, we, and remember, namaz effect is different on a person. Roza's effect will be different. Zakat will be different. Qurbani's effect is different. You got a crossword puzzle, not a crossword puzzle, what?
Jigsaw.
Jigsaw puzzle. If one of your things is missing, your whole jigsaw is incomplete. So all our ibadat must be, then we are complete Muslims. If we are very good Muslims to go in Jama'at, to go in Khanqa, every year Hajj, every year Umrah, but we are owing people, we don't pay them. We have got bad treatment with our neighbors. Our jigsaw puzzle is so incomplete. We have to try and complete everything. Then we, you udkhulu fi silmi kaffa, enter into Islam in a complete and perfect way. Don't pick and choose what you like, and you show yourself to be a big buzurg in that field. And in other things you are so neglectful. Nobody can be perfect. But we must try. So to run this first 10 days of Zulhijjah, attach ourselves with Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif at the moment, and the 10 days, appreciate the ibadat of the day by roza, the ibadat of the night by making our Isha at least, and our Fajr with Jamaat, and try and read the third kalima, the fourth kalima. Catch your animal if you can, try and get it before time. Don't worry how your garden will look after that. But get it, let the children get involved, let the woman get involved, make your family get involved, your house involved, and personally, as far as you can, slaughter yourself, skin yourself, slice yourself, and if you can, go and distribute yourself also. If you want your security measures, go. If one is ni'm al-faqir, ni'm al-amir ala babi al-faqir, very honored and blessed is that rich man who goes to the door of the poor person. وَبِئْسَ الْفَقِيرُ عَلَى بَابِ الْأَمِيرِ. Very bad is that poor person who has to come in bed at the door of the rich man. So don't wait till they have to come in bed. You go with it to their house. When you go and give that qurbani meat and you want to sit on the chair and you'll topple down. The chair only had three legs. Then you'll realize how they are living. And when they come and steal from you, you swear them. Go to them and give them. And qurbani meat can be given to the non-Muslims also. There is an occasion to go and give to everyone. But due security measures, go and try. And don't leave it to some organization to distribute. Well and good. But how much you can mix with them. There is another great demand of Islam. The rich and the poor must meet. The Western financial system is a capitalist system. The rich live in a world of their own, and the poor live in a world of their own. They don't meet with one. Islam system is live next to one another, see to one another. In an Islamic system, you are living in a poor area. You are a poor person, but Allah gave you wealth, riches. Our system is you still live there. Now the extra money you got, make your house more comfortable, but spend on your neighbors. Spend on the people around you. Western system, move to the elite suburbs now. We abandon this place now, abandon those people there, and we're living the elite system. Islam system is you remain there and look after the people around you. So this is what Islam teaches us. And if we are Muslims in essence, not in name, one is the picture of a light. Eh? The little children also, they are taught in nursery also, draw color, the light. Children, the child takes a scissor and cuts the tail of the lion. I'm so brave. See, the lion can't do anything to it. It's just a picture. He takes a knife and pushes it in the eyes of the lion. It's a picture. Another is a lion in a zoo. And there also it's written, don't interfere. But children, they take stones and throw. See, I'm so close to the lion. I throw stones, take a stick, push it in, etc. And one is a lion in a jungle. Try and interfere with that lion and see what happens. So today, sad to say, almost all of us, we are just picture Muslims. Otherwise, the enemy of Islam could not pick their eyes up and look at a Muslim. If they look at one Muslim in the eye, the whole Muslim ummah will go down his throat. But today, what is happening? We are enjoying our food. Not one dua for Iraq, for the Muslims there. Not one dua for the Hajis. We are independent. We got our comfortable homes. It was winter, we had our air cons. It's summer, we got our air cons, we got our gardens blossoming now in September. What we got to worry for the rest of the week? We got no connection. Because these ibadat are not in our lives. And qurbani, go to the poor. And then see the fruit of this qurbani. May Allah bless us with the reality of the whole thing. Every first week of the Islamic month, we have a majlis in Homestead Park on a Friday night, like today we are having here. We have there on a Saturday night in the Darul Ulum in Azadwal, Sunday from 10 o'clock we have in the Darwin, try and attend this program. If for any reason you cannot, go on the website, the address is on the notice, veryeasyka.org.za. Allah reward our brothers who are managing the site, they're doing a wonderful job, so try and benefit that way, but try and come personally. You can get perhaps married on the internet, perhaps the muftis will give a fatwa, you can get married. But you will never get a child on the internet. And for that you have to have personal contact. You won't get a child on the internet. So to get the real benefit, come personally. Otherwise, on the internet, you will benefit to some extent, alhamdulillah, but try and come. May Allah give us all.